broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May 4th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two and two in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. James Edwards with me, well-known talk show host in his own right. Every Saturday evening his award-winning broadcast take to the airwaves. It's also available on archive 24-7 at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. Great commentary, great news the networks refuse to use, and a whole lot more. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Their claim to fame, ladies and gentlemen, race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. So, James, we were talking last hour about Roe versus Wade. Martin Fox says abortion is the slaughter of the innocent, yet we keep hearing about safe, legal, and rare, but that's the lie. That's the propaganda being peddled by the mainstream press and your government for literally 50-plus years. And now the truth is coming out, ladies and gentlemen. Not even the pro-abortion national media or your government is able to cover up the recurring reality of women being harmed, severely injured by botched abortions and more. The pro-death racial agenda continues. But you know what? Now it might be overturned. Will it? Is the question. They say that the leaked information says that they will overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't know. I hope they do. But I don't have a lot of confidence. Mike Lee and other conservatives are saying, hey, let's release the real ruling and let's do it immediately now. Let's jettison the debate, jettison the hold off. Let's get it done. Since it's already leaked, we know where you stand. Just release it. And I agree that we need to get that done. But ladies and gentlemen, what I find interesting is they want to prosecute the criminal that released this information. They want to go ahead and have a marshal investigate and everything else. And I understand that. And I support the law. If it's the law that it's illegal, fine. But you know what, James? I kind of have a different tactic. Why do we double down and create all these laws that create secrecy and create classified information and create whatever? I get that on occasion there's some necessity for it on a very limited basis. But when you give them an inch, they take a mile, James. And the problem with it is I think that we've got way, way too little when it comes to accountability and transparency and everything else. And why can't we be involved in the debate with the Supremes? If this was an intentional leak to try to put the finger in the wind and see where the American people will stand and what they'll stomach and everything else, that why haven't we just been brought on along the whole time for this kind of a thing? I don't know that I like the secrets all year long, and then, hey, June comes around, and they release everything and tell you where the gods stand on everything kind of an idea. I reject that. They work for us. They're the judges. They're not the gods. They're the servants of we the people. And you know what? I don't have any problem with being transparent and knowing kind of where they stand and what they think and understanding their internal debates and everything else. So personally, I mean, I understand everybody kind of melting down about the leak. And, you know, I'm one of them that says, hey, you got to obey the law, right? I get that. But Mark Levin acts like the whole world's going to be, meltdown over this. Mark Levin says that the Supreme Court Roe versus Wade leak is a great assault, and the U.S. institutions in America are going to collapse if this is allowed to continue. I don't think so. I actually think it can make them actually stronger. Remember, they work for us, James. And imagine if you could just run around and have all kinds of secrets to your boss and not tell what's going on. You know, look, this era of unprecedented secrecy, or whatever you want to call it, it's got to stop. So I kind of err on the side of Julian Assange, on the side of Edward Snowden, on the side of this leaker. Sure, I'm against the violation of laws, but I'm also saying, hey, maybe in the era of changing bad law, let's go ahead and have more transparency in the greatest country on the face of the earth, James.
Well, I might err on the other side on this one with regards to the Supreme Court, and first of all, of course, they're not our servants. They were not elected by us, and they are unaccountable. I guess they were elected by the people we elect to represent us. But beyond that, the people have very little influence over what these justices do, and they're there for life, and that's a really bizarre system to me. But if you're talking about leaks of governmental malfeasance, absolutely. That's really what I think the main thing Snowden is remembered for and Assange is, you know, they were leaking things. They were whistleblowers about corruption and criminality. I guess I would go back to what we were saying in the first hour with regard to this. I don't know if the exact same standards are applicable because of the political pressure and the threats of violence now that are going to be visited upon the Supreme Court justices who, in this case,
yeah, but hold on, that's
a very rare thing,
on this,
are doing what's right.
We should be cracking down on this violent agenda. If there's violence in the nation's capital in front of the Supreme Court, look, prosecute the violent criminals, okay? But, hey, what's wrong with an open debate in America, right?
That's a novel idea. That's a novel idea. But, I mean, how would the transparency look on something like this if you've got a judge who's sort of mulling it over and... Look, I don't have any sort of naive fantasies after my experiences in the court with a libel lawsuit that actually changed precedent in the state of Michigan, that these justices are so concerned with rule of law that they deliberate and they pore over precedents and things of that nature to come to the right legal decision. I mean, almost without exception, judges are political activists, and they rule based upon their biases, and they say, this is how I want to rule. Now, they tell their clerks, go find me something that'll back it up. So
wouldn't you love to have the transparency behind your case and who twisted whose arms and who did what to literally say, yeah, the quintessential decision regarding libel and slander is saying someone's a leader or whatever of the KKK. It turns out they're not. We document in the court case they're not. And then we say, hey, but don't worry, Aesop's fable rules the day here. You know, you get a bad company, you keep James guilty as charged, even though it's not even true. So we're going to literally peddle propaganda, false information, fake news, whatever you want, and say that takes the cake when it comes to case reality, regardless of case precedent, regardless of the quintessential definition of things. We're just going to jettison all that. What behind the scenes made that happen, James?
All right, now you're laying
come
the trap
now
for me. And listen, I'm walking into it. I mean, yes,
selfishly,
yes,
you are, brother.
Situation.
But I'm saying, hey, transparency is a good thing. Now, if you want to talk about national security in the military and things like that.
How would that work? I mean, would you put a video camera that's sort of like one of these live video feeds as they deliberate and as they discuss? I mean, maybe that could work. I don't know. I mean, I don't see how you get transparency.
For example, you've got this draft. We've been complaining that we should have drafts of bills out where people could see the bill before people vote on it. And the big argument is, oh, by golly, we can't get it out in time. You're going to vote on it, and you got to vote to find out what's in it. Lie. We've been saying there needs to be transparency to bills and, hey, put the drafts out so everybody can see them and debate them and discuss them and read them and learn about them. Why not have the same thing here? If this draft has been available for someone to get a hold of it and leak it, why can't we see where the draft is going, where this, you know, where they're kind of leaning, what they're doing, and what about the other side? What other drafts do they have already created? Do they have drafts for all sides of this, depending on which way they vote in the end? And they've got all these mock drafts out there. I'd love to see what the mock drafts are thinking and saying and what they're advocating for and what their justifications are. And, you know, this is where we can really dig in and get a handle. But why would this document just remain secret until in June they go, hey, the gods have spoken? Right.
Yeah, they come down and pass down their rulings every once a year. They do need to go ahead and get this out, because otherwise you're only inviting there to be a change of course based upon the pressure. We've talked about that. You know what the left's going to do with this, which is very different than what law-abiding Christian citizens do. The left gets wind of something they don't like, and they're going to pull out all the stops. If this was leaked.
Yeah, and if
there's a ruling that we were opposed to, we would just say, well, the courts have spoken. You know, that's how we would handle it. And again,
I'm saying that's got to stop.
Yeah, but, you know, we've been born in this nadir of American history, Sam, this particular time frame at which we've lived our lives these past few decades. And sometimes the proper strategy is to wait. I said this again earlier in the show. Time and circumstance must be right for a cause to flourish, and conditions need to be favorable. But those conditions maybe talked about this in the last segment, too, or last hour, about how things are turning politically. So maybe conditions are beginning to start a realignment, but there's a lot of times the time has to meet the man. The moment has to meet the man. And for pro-life advocates, you just couldn't do that before there was this polarization as there is now. Just the timing wasn't right, that you weren't going to be successful. Now maybe you can.
So they've got all these scans and different things where medically you can see that it's a baby, that it's beyond debate that it's a baby now. We didn't have that back in the day. You know, how familiar are the Supreme Court justices with those realities? Are they discussing them? Are they trying to undermine them or ignore them or set those aside? You know, how scientific based are their arguments, their discussions, and the debates behind the scenes? And I look at a lot of the, every issue almost wants to go to the Supreme Court now. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Somebody's hoping, by golly, we hope we get a split decision. We hope this, we hope that, we hope we can, you know, get it all the way to the Supreme Court for a real ruling. And everybody believes that's the answer. But how much simpler would it be, more clear would it be if we could get a lot of these court discussions to be a lot more transparent? I don't know that most things that end up at the Supreme Court, I think they'd be solved way before they ever get there. But when they're all in secret, in a vacuum, hey, everybody advocates for their cause. They can't even get a hold of the debate. It's hard to come out with a mediated solution or a public opinion answer or anything. The other things, all those things are off the table. And so we say, well, we don't want the courts to be political, Sam. That's why it's like this. Well, how non-political is it to leave the people out of the discussion? Would Roe versus Wade have been passed if we were completely transparent back in the day? I believe if we were completely transparent back in the day, they would not have been able to pull their shenanigans, and we would never have Roe versus Wade in the beginning.
Well, it's bigger than that, too, Sam. We're sort of advocating for the integrity of the court because for once in our life, they're going to make a decision that we like. But they should have never had that much power. I mean, you say, yeah, it's legal. We say it's legal to murder your children. The state should have just said nope, and the president should have said nope. I mean, nope, you're crazy. Not going to happen. That's what should have happened. It shouldn't be as powerful as it is.
Amen to that. James Edwards
in seconds.
Have
you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm advocating for transparency because I don't believe Roe versus Wade would have even been pro-death. If we were to have transparency, if you go study the original case, they lied, they manipulated reality in the public opinion of the people. This idea, ladies and gentlemen, is really, really pivotal in how they passed Roe versus Wade. They lied to the people, okay? They said, safe, legal, and rare. That's the mantra they've used, and that was a lie even back then. It wasn't safe, legal, and rare. It wasn't legal. To make it legal, they went against all court case precedent. They went against God's law, thou shalt not kill. They went against everything we held dear in America, the whole purpose of government being pro-life. And they did it by this legal, let's make it legal, let's just lie. Safe, legal, rare. It isn't safe and it isn't rare. The whole agenda, if we were to have transparency, look, the flat out pro-abortion agenda has racist origins. They're going to literally say James is a racist because of the company he keeps. No fact, no evidence, no, you know, but yet, you know, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, the pro-abortion industry, they're as racist as it gets. Just imagine if all that was laid out to the people back in the day. Would we even have Roe versus Wade, James?
Well, probably, because the people didn't vote on it. You know, that's funny, Sam. You asked that. And by the way, that is one of the things that was leaked is, I believe it was Alito that documented proficiency of
the racist reality, yeah,
and how that's depressed their birth rates and all of that. But so that's going to be put in there. But Elizabeth Warren, during her shrill screaming outside of on the streets of Washington, saying the people never voted for this, the people didn't vote for this to be over. Well, I don't remember them voting to put it in. I mean, basically every change that has been for the worse in this country, and there have been many of them, not very many that has resulted in the death of tens of millions of Americans, but like this one. But all of the changes that radical progressivism has thrust upon us have been done without a vote. I didn't see anybody voting for homosexual marriage. I didn't see anybody voting to have Roe versus Wade put in the first place. So all of this stuff about, well, the people didn't vote for this. What has that ever bothered them before? Never.
That's right. And I find that interesting. I think if we had a lot more transparency with the people, could be involved a whole lot more. One of the right remedies for out-of-control belligerent judges that jettison case precedent, jettison moral high ground. They're called activist judges, whatever you want to call. Look, we can impeach those judges. That's the rightful remedy when a judge is out of control. Look, they're not there for life, as people believe. Go research. They're there for life based on good behavior. And in my opinion, all the judges that promoted pro-death and doubled down on the racist agenda of the Roe decision to murder the most innocent among us and a racial agenda to destroy the black race and everything else. Look, that should have been exposed, should have been transparent. The people should have been literally having their heads, not in a literal way, but I mean, in terms of impeachment, those judges should have all been impeached. Most of them are Republican, by the way, James.
We have talked about this before with regards to what may have been Sanger's intentions there, but it's, as I said, Sam, people still have to be accountable for their own actions. If Margaret Sanger had built an abortion mill in my backyard, that doesn't mean that my wife would have walked through the door. So I get it, and that is something that pro-life advocates have certainly talked about over the years, and it's something that's being included in this decision, it would appear. But just because you build an abortion clinic in a black neighborhood doesn't mean that they have to go. So at some point, you know, again, the buck has to stop with the individual. But still, it's worth talking about.
I agree completely. The point is the propaganda, though. When most people believe, hey, if the president says you're going to wear a mask, that's the law. And they don't realize, because they're not involved in this reality, this transparency, this accountability. Look, hey, we need to educate people about the checks and balances of America. And one of the great checks and balances, look, you know what, President, I appreciate that you say we got to wear masks, but we're not going to do it. There's no law that says so, and don't pretend there is. They literally said on planes, federal law requires da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it turns out, no, the court said federal law doesn't require that. President, you're wrong. How come the courts can say, well, that doesn't violate federal law, or that isn't federal law, that isn't law. But yet we the people can't say that?
Yeah,
see, we the people need to understand we can and must say that. If we're going to have the Constitution upheld, the checks and balances need to be registered by we the people, demanding accountability and transparency here. So if I get on a plane and they say it's the law, the federal law, Sam, you're going to be prosecuted if you don't wear a mask. And I say, look, it's not the law. Then they laugh at me and go, ha, 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 yeah, it is, Sam, whatever. And then the court says, no, it's not the law. Now it's not? Hold on now. Yeah, it either was or it wasn't, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly, Sam. And this is something that, again, I don't want to be of two minds on this. We cheer the court on the rare occasion when it gives us a decision that is just, but we question its legitimacy otherwise. It has too much power. It was always intended to be the weakest branch of government. Now, these not just the Supreme
Court. And how's
the
best? Hold on, James. How's the best way to reduce its power, my friend? There's one way.
What, with the Constitutional Congress?
How do you make the cockroaches run?
You're going back to the All right,
You shine the light on it there, buddy. Well, they decrease their power now.
Yeah, but okay, but the only way you can do that is if you have an honest media, which you don't. All right, so you're going to get people like us shining the light on them, but that is not going to faze them because the media is completely on board with most of their decisions and gives them safe cover. So, I mean, no, it's a good idea, but it just you got to have that spotlight and able to do it, and with the media under system control, that's a tough thing. But it still goes back to, look, I don't care if nine murderous thugs tell you or tell me or tell all of us that we have the right to murder our children, that ought to be illegal. I mean, why does the court get to say what is and isn't? I mean, that's something that the Congress should do. And by the way, speaking of the president, did you know that in 1982, Biden came out passionately in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade and kicking it back to the states? This was in 1982. I saw somebody put up a speech that he gave in 1982 when that was just, what, 5 years after the inception of Roe. And so here
and
was Biden. I don't know what happened over the last 40 years.
How would the conservatives or how would the liberals respond if they knew that, you know, hey, Joe has been asking for that, pushing for that. Now he doesn't say much about it. Now he's so cognitively challenged that people are kind of wondering what the heck he's saying. But back in 1982, he advocated for that big time. And, hey, why didn't that get used in radio commercials and TV commercials? And why didn't we highlight that and push people to the wall on this and stuff? See, this transparency is one of the great keys that we have, my fellow Americans. I agree that it's hard. I agree that the media will jettison it, and I agree. But, look, if we're going to ever hold a judge accountable for their actions, we're going to have to know what their actions are. And then if we know what their actions are and we impeach them, the next judge is going to be a whole lot less likely to be some belligerents on the bench, some activists on the bench jettisoning case precedents and such. So we have got to learn to use the checks and balances, and transparency is one of the great keys to do that. And you say, well, Sam, we don't want the courts to be political. They're already political, folks. Look at it.
You got that right. And this is a good conversation. This is a good conversation. And, of course, with the advent of social media and the Internet, people who are shut out of legacy or mainstream or establishment or controlled press organs certainly have a voice and can do more organizing in that way to shine the spotlight, as you say, Sam. But it still goes back to, as I say, the Supreme Court and the circuit courts. Sometimes it doesn't even have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court for you to get, you know, we saw Trump's travel ban, you know, was shut down by a circuit court judge. And, well, you know, some judge in Hawaii overrules the president on a whim. Courts shouldn't have as much power as they do, that's for sure. That's another battle. But right now we're talking about Roe versus Wade, and in this case, we agree with what the court's doing, and we hope that they're able to push it through for once.
Amen to that. And I believe we the people can play a pivotal role in this. When I speak transparency, ladies and gentlemen, that transparency only does good if we do something about it. Okay, Satan knows Jesus is the Christ, but it ain't helping him none, right? We need to take action. We need to get involved in meaningful ways to push this pro-life focus to where it's not debatable. If 80% of Americans said, yes, Supreme Court, we love the decision that you made. We commend you. We stand with you. And it was so overwhelming that the media could not spin the narrative, could not write the narrative, could not force their agenda. See, we could make the difference now. Now is the window of opportunity. Okay, now is the time that we can really speak out and make a difference. And you know what? I think that we should, you know, and the liberals want to confront everybody and get crazy. I think we should confront the Supreme Court justices, the four liberals that are going to oppose this or write the dissenting view. I think we should politely confront them, politely explain to them, look, the whole purpose of government is pro-life. There is no other purpose of government, period. So yeah, you need to advocate for pro-life or else, you know what? We'd push for your impeachment, justices. You got that? We're not promoting any violence. We will use the tools given to us by our founders, though, the checks and balances, to advocate for the truth. Because the truth shall set you free. Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Author J.D. Vance won Ohio's GOP Senate primary on Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't the death of the America First agenda.
Vance will run against Democrat Tim Ryan in November. Trump's endorsements are 77 wins, 0 losses in Illinois and Ohio. After Tuesday's Supreme Court of the United States draft leak, illegally obtained by Politico, indicating Roe versus Wade may be on its final days, President Biden, without mentioning the lives it would save, talks about the impact of unwanted pregnancies.
Look, the idea that concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide a woman does not have a right to choose.
Any change to Roe versus Wade would not eliminate abortion. It would make states the deciding factor in America. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
Before I started taking Balance of Nature, I was so exhausted, and they found nothing wrong. Everything was good, just no energy. For years, I was so worn out. Well, I want to tell you, Balance of Nature has been so good for me. I'm 84 years old, and I feel like I'm 30. I want to scream with happiness. I feel like I'm 30 years old now. So I want to thank Balance of Nature for everything, because this has been the best thing I've ever done.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Carmen Deck, who was condemned to death following a double murder conviction after three trials, was executed Tuesday evening in Bonterra, Missouri by lethal injection. Deck was accused of fatally shooting James and Selma Long after robbing them in 1996 when he was 30 years old. Police said he confessed to the killing, but Deck's defense argued at trial it was a false confession. A cabinet member serving two presidents has died.
Norman Mineta, the first Asian American to become a federal cabinet secretary, has died at the age of 90. Mineta served under both Democrat Bill Clinton and Republican George W. Bush. When he served as federal transportation secretary, he ordered commercial flights grounded after the 9/11 terror attacks in 2001. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
NASCAR racing will be in Darlington, South Carolina this weekend. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, James Edwards on your radio. So our prayers are with the Supreme Court. They'll do the right thing and stand for pro-life. The only purpose of legitimate government and all judges that stand against that effort should be literally impeached. For their criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen, pro-death is criminal, just so you know. Thou shalt not kill is God's edict, and thou shalt not kill is part of the law of our land, ladies and gentlemen. But we let them do it with impunity, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop now. And we, the people, could literally weigh in and make that the reality if we just would stand up in the culture wars boldly, nobly, independently. Anyway, our prayers are that we do that. Switching to another topic with James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, with us on your radio. Disney lost $63 billion in, quote, market capitalization since going full, quote, woke in Florida. James, that's a lot of money, buddy.
It's great news. We've been talking about this on the radio as well. In fact, we did a couple of segments on what's going on in Florida just last Saturday. And I would say, too, as we transition from the Roe versus Wade thing, a 5-4 majority is razor thin. It only takes one to succumb to the pressure or to the bribes or to whatever's going to be coming their way. They need to get this out very quickly. But with regard to Florida, I mean, this just goes to show when popular sentiment meets with governmental power, the good guys can do great things, and you have a guy down there who has done great things, and that is Ron DeSantis. Now, no, he's not perfect. As my guest put it last Saturday, he's not our guy, but he's not our guy, okay? There is a lot of things about DeSantis that I like very, very much. And what's going on with Disney is the government, the state, the people rose up so often, especially with Republicans, I think, they are beholden to big business and to corporations. But DeSantis rose up because of Disney's muddying the waters of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill and punched him right in the nose, and it has cost them plenty. So, of course, I know you've probably covered this, Sam, but what they're doing and what they're doing happened so fast. It went from Ron DeSantis mentioning it to 4 days later being on the floor of the state house. That's how fast it happened, because the state legislature in Florida marches. It's Republican dominated, and it marches in lockstep with DeSantis because he's a man of action. He's a man of vision. He's a strong man. He has the courage to lead and to stand up for his constituents who elected him. And they're threatening to take away Disney's right to basically self-govern itself. It has its own jurisdiction, the Reedy Creek Improvement District, and there Disney can do all sorts of things. They have their own sort of EMT force and fire department, and they don't have to go through the county to get approval for construction and things like that. It's basically its own government, and the state of Florida is now threatening, not just threatening, but is poised to take it away. But that's not the only thing. I mean, everybody knows what DeSantis is doing to Disney, but that's not the only thing that's going on there that should be of importance to conservatives and to constitutionalists. Listen to other things that have happened on DeSantis's watch in Florida over the course of the last couple of years. Florida left OSHA, all right? In November 2021, DeSantis signed a bill which was passed by the Florida legislature that removed Florida from the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. All right, so you have Florida decoupling from the federal Leviathan in different ways. The Florida School Boards, the Florida School Boards Association withdrew from the National School Board Association. That's huge, Sam, because of all the filth and degeneracy and anti-Christ propaganda coming out of the National School Board Association. Florida said, well, no thanks. We'll just do it ourselves on a state level. And in doing so, they rejected 40%, nearly half, of all of the 2022 textbooks that were approved by the United States Department of Education. Florida rejected half of those, all right, because it contained LGBT and critical race theory propaganda into the lessons, as well as Common Core. Nearly 50% of textbooks rejected by the state of Florida that were approved by the U.S. Department of Education. All right. Florida Health Department has rejected the gender care, the gender confirmation care program for minors that came out of the U.S. Health and Human Services. I probably don't need to go into detail. You can guess that that's what that program is all about. So Florida disassociated itself from that. It was a Florida judge. It was a federal judge, but a federal judge from Florida that lifted the U.S. Department of Transportation's mask mandate, okay? This goes back to what we were talking about before, realignment. What conservatives are able to do now with the court. They've always been used against us. Here you have, in just a couple of weeks, the court's working for us, potentially with Roe versus Wade, but certainly in Florida, it was a federal judge in Florida who lifted the mask mandate, and that applied to the airlines, of course. Florida rejected all of that COVID-related insanity. They have created a state guard in response to BLM. They passed an anti-riot law of 2021. And on and on and on. It just goes to show, hey, folks, it's never over. I know throughout the course of our lifetimes, we've been beaten and beaten and beaten on cultural issues, on law and order, you name it. But here in Florida, all of a sudden, and with God's will and Jesus' help, maybe it can continue. But they're doing a lot of things down there, Sam, not just Disney. A lot of things are going on in Florida that should very much excite constitutional conservatives and Christians.
There's no doubt about it, and it's true that there's not just one instance. Some make the mainstream press. That's why you hear about them. So, you know, you heard about the bill in Florida about, hey, we're not going to, you know, don't say gay, lies. But, you know, that bill was landmark in terms of truly jettisoning perverted education. This Disney thing, why should Disney have its own, quote, special privilege to have their own literally be judge, jury, and executioner. They have their own government without checks and balances. Literally a carved out little section in the state called Disney Country, almost. Right? Why should Disney be allowed to have that? Especially with their perverted woke agenda they're promoting. And even the employees are rioting at Disney going, wait a minute, hold on. This isn't what I'm signing up for, this agenda they're pushing now. And so we're starting to see Americans stand up and get involved. And this is the transparency that I'm talking about. How many governors would stand up if we were to back them and there was transparency on what they're really doing? Most of the conservatives are afraid because what happens is the mainstream press spins it and makes them look horrible. So they're afraid to take on these real issues. But if we That's can right. literally get out the message about what they're really doing, I think that the Don't Say Gay bill, I think most Americans realize that was bogus. They understood what Ron was doing. And so I think we're gaining ground on this front, and I think that it helps with transparency, and it helps the American people be involved, and it helps us apply the checks and balances, James.
Well, you said something key there, Sam, and that is the fact you touched on it, that the media, of course, chooses which voices to amplify. And if you've got the establishment press amplifying only voices of the left, that's going to put an unrealistic pressure on the elected officials and the judges and whoever else they're trying to apply this pressure to. But obviously in a state like Florida, this guy got elected because of his positions. So let those voices be heard. And I think because few people take the time to write a letter or send an email to an elected official. I mean, it's got to be amplified. The voices of the people, the voices of populist dissent need to be amplified by the media. And of course, that's not happening. But in Florida, listen, that is a lot of good things that's happened very quickly in one state. And Florida is not a throwaway state. I mean, whether it's the fourth most populous and powerful state in the country behind California, New York, and Texas, if it was its own country, it would be in the top half of most powerful countries in the world in terms of population and economic power and things like that. So, hey, listen, folks, it's never over. I'm going to be talking about this weekend with the guest on. We're going to further lay out a lot of good things that are happening, a lot of positive change that's happening that, of course, would be hushed up or distorted by the gatekeepers of the media. Now, he who has the gold makes the rules, right, Sam?
Yes, indeed. He owns the media, makes the rules for sure. But I'll tell you what, you know, we're starting to see even when the liberals double down and do something stupid, at first it seems negative, but the repercussions, the blowback, the pushback, the rejection of their narrative is starting to be legendary as well. Let me give you an example. In California now, they just basically made it to where, hey, Medi-Cal, which is like a Medicaid, but it's for the state of California, right? Medi-Cal is given to everybody above 50 years old, including illegal aliens, James. Now, at first glance, you could say, whoa, that's horrible. It is, folks. It is. But it's showing the evil hand of the progressive liberals. It's showing the evil hand of those who, they don't care about our borders. They don't care about citizens. They don't care about... Okay, and Americans are seeing that. And even California is starting to go, whoa, you're building a bridge too far on this one, people. James?
Well, I'll tell you something else. I don't know about in California necessarily, but in places like Florida and Texas, I mean, for years and years and years, it was always considered that every time you had Hispanics or people from outside of the United States coming in, it was illegal aliens, that is. It was basically a voter registration drive for the Democrats, but the Democrats have gotten so far off the reservation with regards to wokeism and trans that a lot of the Hispanics are beginning to vote Republican. This is a shift that just happened in the last election. It caught everybody off guard.
Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds on your favorite News the Network refused to use station.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
For decades, leftists, liberals, socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument, since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, James Edwards on your radio. Hard-hitting talk to your fingertips. There's so much to discuss. There's so little time, my fellow Americans. It's amazing. We're talking about this California decision. Amazingly enough, Medi-Cal, which is the equivalent of Medicaid, but for the state of California, if you will, literally now making it available to everybody above 50 years old, including illegal aliens. It is shocking, James.
Yeah, but not surprising. I mean, especially out there. I mean, thankfully, this isn't hasn't expanded beyond the borders of California. But that is, I guess, what you would say, par for the course of California. Hard to even, you know, that just goes to show, that's another thing, you know, we talk about, Sam. Hard to even consider California being part of the same nation. Now, again, we could get into the tall grass about what is the difference between a country and a nation. A nation is typically referred to as a group of people with a similar culture and bloodlines and experiences and history and heroes and all of that, whereas a country is just a geographical mass or maybe a government. It's wonderful when a country and a nation can be one and the same and overlap. But it's hard to imagine a state like California being part of the same country as states like Utah or states like Tennessee, where we're from, because the politics over there are just so radically different. And you have to wonder, can there be an amicable union when states like that are so diametrically opposed to one another and truly, truly consider each other to be enemies? That's a tough arrangement to keep.
I want you to speak to the fact that it's going to get worse, too, though. I don't think you've seen nothing yet when it comes to the polarization.
Well, it very well could. I think with regards to the polarization, so long as, and I'm happy about the news coming from the Supreme Court, but it still doesn't ameliorate the overall crisis that when you force people that are so diametrically opposed to one another, that have views on issues that are so diametrically opposed to one another, they can't even agree on whether or not a God exists or whether or not the murder of babies is in fact murder. And that's just a couple of the issues. I mean, there's so many more above and beyond that. The whole thing with trans and radical feminism and just the deconstruction, the never-ending drumbeat of war against the family. How do you keep that together? Should you keep that together? That's the question. I mean, again, I'm glad about what's going on at the Supreme Court, but it doesn't change anything that the polarization is getting worse, the amount of vitriol for different groups of people against one another is getting worse, and I don't see that going away, Sam. I don't see that going away. I think once these, maybe some of these people who have succumbed to the culture of death or this demonic spirit or whatever it is that makes them think the way they do, maybe some of them can be redeemed. But a lot of them I don't think can be or will be or want to be. And is it in the best interest of our people, And that's what I care about. I don't care about America as a country. I care about my family. I care about my people, our people. Is it in the best interest to keep this union together? It's just, you know, you go back to the war between the states and what differences they had back then. They were still of one kind. They still celebrated the same holidays. They still had the same language. They still had so much commonality. But they went to war against one another. Now the differences compared to what there were in the 1860s are a thousandfold. Is it in our best interest to stay together? I don't think it is. I want there to be a secession. I want there to be a separation. I think that's the only way forward, or it's just going to be constant violence or threats of violence or disdain. I think we'd be better off apart. I think the world would be better off apart with a weaker America, to be honest. America has not used its power for good.
And the problem with that discussion is the way America's chopped up now, you would have very unique issues with, say, two nations crossing each other's boundaries. In other words, to get to the Rocky Mountain states, which may be part of the South or whatever you want to call it, the conservative states. There's not a divide that makes sense at this point, right? All the liberals would control all the coasts, so all the trade and all the issues related to commerce, etc. International trade and relations, we would have to go through California or some of these places for almost all of our trade issues and things. So the divide may be complicated indeed, adding insult to injury to a great degree, James, as well.
Yeah, you're right about that. When we were talking before, just on this case of abortion, we were doing the, what was it, the 19, the 18, and the 13, the states that would have it codified, the states that would have it outlawed, and the states that would have it neither banned or permitted based upon state law. There is no pattern to that. I mean, yeah, I mean, overall there is. I mean, you've got the coastal states on both sides. The left coast and the east coast are obviously your left-wing areas, and then the south and some of the mountain west states make up the remainder. And then you've got, Colorado here and Illinois there that's going to go along with the coasts. But it wouldn't be like you see in Europe where, each country is just sort of there and it makes sense. In America, if you had that partition, if it split into two, you would have to cross one country to get to the other side. And let's just say the coastal states make up their own country. This is hypothetical, I understand, but just for argument's sake, the coastal states make up their own country and the rest of us make up ours. You would have to cross our country to get to each side of their country. So I don't know if it would be like that or if it would partition to many smaller states, but the history tells us that it happened.
Another assertion is based on our debt, the Chinese and the Russians and the whoever owns our debt would carve up the country in their liking as well. So that brings up another threat or concern. But to make the point about the international discussion, I don't know if you know about the International Energy Agency, but there is an International Energy Agency right now that is literally saying we need to start to create lockdowns to achieve our climate change goals. Because of the climate, they need to lock you down, James, internationally speaking, so that you don't continue to just destroy the environment, the climate, as you and me and others are doing now. They're literally making that assertion right now.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if America, or at least part of the government, wouldn't going along with that. But it would appear as though either partition of America, if it were ever to break up, and it's not unfathomable, folks. I mean, again, who could have seen Roe versus Wade being overturned even a week ago today? I mean, it wasn't even really on the radar. I mean, we always hoped, yeah, Trump put these justices in, but nothing really goes good for Christians or conservatives in this country, not in a long, long time, not on this level. And now, yet, here we are 1 week later. And it was the same way with the Soviet Union. Same, you're talking about debt and all of this. I mean, the Soviet Union was this evil empire, and then all of a sudden, it was gone. You woke up one morning and the wall had been torn down and the Soviet Union no longer existed. Who would have ever thought that during the Cold War that you would just wake up one day in the late 80s and early 90s and, the whole nation's gone. All of that stuff would obviously have to be sorted out, but these things get sorted out because throughout history, countries have risen and empires have fallen, and it happens. I mean, you see the Balkanization, the old Soviet Union has fractured into many different nation states, and that could happen again here. Just because it hasn't happened on this continent, it happens all over the world all the time throughout history, including very recent history, and perhaps again in Ukraine still to come in the very near future. So that stuff would have to be worked out. I don't know how that gets worked out, but it has always been worked out throughout history, and it would have to be worked out here as well.
All right, well, I got good news to end the hour, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you guys remember the Mike Brown case, but Mike Brown was a gentleman in Utah, and he literally went into his legislative body in the state of Utah, the Capitol building, and he was advocating for a certain bill. And when he went into the Capitol building, somebody was there passing out stickers. And so he grabbed one of the stickers because it agreed with his political views and agenda and squared with what he was advocating for at the hearing, if you will, or at the public comment period. So he put this sticker on and went in there, and they literally arrested him. And they threw him on the ground, and they did all these things to him and everything else. Amazingly enough, it turns out they just dismissed his case yesterday. And so now he's not liable. They literally had attacked him, not only physically when they arrested him for wearing the sticker. They said, you can't have a sticker on in the court. And he was willing to take it off, but it wasn't good enough because they wanted him to leave. And he said, no, I'm not leaving. I need to stay here and advocate for my bill. And anyway, long story short, the cops all got sideways with him. It was out of control. The highway patrol got involved and everything else. And they arrested him. They beat him up pretty good and everything else. He wasn't happy with it. And bottom line, the case got dismissed just yesterday. So that's great, great, great news. And the question that I emailed back Mike is, hey, now, are you going to sue them? Because they were out of line. If they dismiss the case this easily, they know they don't have a leg to stand on. So the question is, we're going to sue and create greater accountability. And I'm waiting for Mike's response on that. But I thought I'd bring that to your attention as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you literally have these people rioting and committing violence outside the Supreme Court today because of the Roe versus Wade, hopefully rejection of the pro-death agenda. And they're literally rioting outside the courts now. Mike can't even go into the state of Utah with a sticker on. So to some degree, some of these conservative states are just as tyrannical as some of the liberal places. I mean, I'm not for rioting in the streets, but I am for allowing people to express themselves and allow people to have their own views and peacefully advocate for those views. And we need to allow that to happen in the state of Utah. They tried to stop that. Thank heavens Mike has the upper hand now. As they realize the error of their ways or the criminal activity of their behavior, and hopefully we can rein in. This is what I mean by transparency, ladies and gentlemen. Before Liberty Roundtable Live and many other advocates of truth, you wouldn't have even heard. You would have just heard from the cops that Mike was a bad guy, and the cops stopped him, and then when they dismissed their case, you would have heard nothing about it. It's great news, James.
Well, thank God for small miracles, Sam. Yes, I mean, and even though this may seem like a small issue compared to the one we've been talking about for the majority of the show, all of these things need to be celebrated, and we need to have hope. We need to have hope, big and small, that things can and will change. So anytime you get a story like this, it's always worth sharing.
And we also need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this makes a big difference. I mean, these small issues are eventually what creates protection against greater tyranny. So if they were allowed to have their way with Mike without accountability and without transparency, the next one would be worse and worse and worse and worse. Now that Mike's won, now that they've had to back off and release the case or drop it, whatever, the benefit is, you know what, they aren't going to be able to have their way going forward near as easily. So this is really important because small things, in my opinion, in other words, the door swings on a tiny hinge. And we need to understand the repercussions of Mike standing up for himself, of we the people standing with him in the media and making this a real discussion for the public, this transparency, which is what I've been talking about for 2 hours, that is key for less abuse, more liberty down the road, James.
Amen, Sam. It's been a great great show today. It's always encouraging when we're able to talk about encouraging things. Doesn't happen all the time. You keep traveling safe, brother. Can't wait to see you soon as your travels continue next month as well. But love being on with you. Love you dearly.
There he goes, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check out his award-winning program every Saturday night live and, of course, anytime on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brightyonradio.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.